From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. My guest, director Wayne Wang, moves more comfortably with more ease from studio films to independent films than any director I can think of. His studio films, of course, include Because of Winn-Dixie, Made in Manhattan, but his impact for many of us has been the independent films such as Smoke and the seminal Chan is Missing from 1982. His new film is A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. Wayne, first of all, thanks so much for doing the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a really tough movie to describe for people, but I've got to ask you, you can kind of lay out what the movie's really about, besides communication, which is what your films are always about, and people kind of talking past each other and not really listening. But specifically, what's A Thousand Years of Good Prayers about?
It's about a father and a daughter relationship, and they went through the Cultural Revolution, and there were a lot of things that happened then, which is very difficult for them to deal with, and all of that, you know, catches up with them now, years later, when the daughter's moved to America and she's gotten her divorce. So it really is about, you know, a woman from China who's trying to forget her past, and she moves here to America. She finds a new language and a new culture, as she says in the film. And the father comes in and thinks that she's ill because she got a divorce, and it's a story about that. I've always wanted to do a movie about the Cultural Revolution, but not do it head on, to do it from the peripheral, so to speak. And when I read the story, it kind of, you know, it had the elements of a father-daughter relationship, but also dealt with all this history about China.
It's really kind of anecdotal, leading more to an emotional resolution rather than a standard narrative resolution.
Mm-hmm. You know, the studio films is like you have to have drama in every scene. You have to have, you know, these big act breaks and all that. In the adaptation of it, we didn't try to build in any false drama or false act breaks and build-ups or whatever. We kept it pretty much like that. It's almost like the journey of the father coming over to understand the daughter, and that's sort of about it. So I kind of went against the grain quite a bit.
It's funny, though, because there's a line at the very beginning of the film that Yuan says that could be in any Wayne Wang movie, which is, don't jump to conclusions too fast. I just felt like your entire career was summed up in that one line.
Yeah, well, you know, because after the Joy Luck Club, I was so labeled as the director who would direct Chinese-American material, would work with women well. So I immediately jumped to Smoke, which is mostly guys in Brooklyn.
Middle-aged white guys in Brooklyn.
Middle-aged white guys, actually. And blacks with Forrest Whitaker and, you know, and his son.
And Harold Perrineau.
And Harold Perrineau, that's right. Then the labels keep following you. So I spend all my time sort of running away from these labels. Now I'm probably labeled as the director who can work with ethnic divas.
After Jennifer Lopez, you've got your big Beyonce movie probably ahead of you next.
Yeah, right. Well, I, you know, then worked with Queen Latifah and, you know.
That's right, Last Holiday.
That's right. So now I'm trying to get rid of that. No, I'm kidding. I'd be happy to work with either Jennifer or Queen Latifah again. They were both great.
It's The Treatment, I guess, is director Wayne Wang. His new film is A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. We did a Q&A on stage a few years ago together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talked about that evening that I think is part of this movie, many of your films as well, is that there will be an event that has happened in the past and the characters are still sort of reeling from it. And I wonder if you find this is something that attracted you to that material, to the book.
Yes, absolutely. I'm always interested in some big dramatic event that happened in the past or happens off screen and how it affects the people now and how they carry the effects of that event now. You know, I feel that that's something, for me at least, that's true. I mean, things that are really important, things that are really tragic or very happy always affects me in some real ways in everything that I do right now. The reason I did Last Holiday was also because my father, who was the most careful person in the world, was walking to pay his IRS taxes and was hit by a car and died from it. And so when this script came along, which is about Queen Latifah, who's a woman who doesn't really live her life because she's afraid of everything, ends up being misdiagnosed for something, and then she just gives it all up and goes on this wild ride in the mountains in the Alps.
I'm sorry. That's an awful thing to have happen. I mean, I wonder how you find it in yourself to make what is a comedy when something so tragic has motivated you to make the film in the first place.
Yeah, I started to write a very serious, almost biographical script from it. And then I found that I couldn't do it. And maybe one day I will do it. There's still that script, you know, sitting around. I found that if I distanced myself a little bit and did a comedy, it was easier, and I could say things, and it ultimately was much more important to me because it's about living your life. It's about taking chances. So it wasn't specifically about my father's life and how he was hit by a car.
But if you look at this film and we look at Smoke and Last Holiday, they're often films you make about lives not lived.
Yeah. In a way, you know, that's how my father was. He worked really hard. He worked 14, 15 hours a day. And like I said, he was a very careful man who was often afraid of things and never took a lot of chances. And he never, in my mind, you know, lived his life. Maybe he did through the things that he did by working hard. But for me, I've always tried to escape from that. Even as a kid going to school, I tried to do things. I never went home. I played soccer. I did things. And you know, he wanted me to be a lawyer or a doctor. I ended up being a painter and then went into filmmaking. So I think I'm trying to not live his life, so to speak, and not be afraid of things and taking risk and doing things. So it's reflected in my film, probably.
Gosh, it certainly is. What did he think about your deciding to not take the cautious path, the path of learning a trade or learning a skill that you could practice that would always keep you working and always keep you, you know, paid?
Well, he was really upset and he stopped, you know, sending me money. But he also felt bad at the same time. So he sent me, at that time, he was actually, you know, making lingerie for this company in New York. So there were always rejects from what he produced. So he sent me all the rejects and said, you know, go and sell them. If you can sell them, pay for your tuition that way. So that was his way of kind of sending me money. But it was really kind of crazy for me as an artist to go around selling women's underwear.
Did you? Were you selling them?
I was selling women's underwear. I ended up, you know, selling it to some company who took the things and wouldn't pay me, so I had to chase them all over town, and it turns out they were kind of gangsters, and I just finally gave up, you know, because I would have, you know, ended up at the bottom of the river if I had chased them some more. There's a movie there.
There's definitely one. The movie Wayne Wang hasn't made yet.
Yeah.
Right now we're talking about his new film, A Thousand Years of Good Prayer. Is this The Treatment? Which you can also hear at KCRW.com. So many characters in your films are storytellers, you mm-hmm. know, or have a real ease with talking. And I wonder where that comes from for you. I mean, is there a tradition of that in your family, or is that something you've always kind of gravitated to yourself? People who are storytellers and can often, I don't say they misrepresent, but it's almost like they're telling the story and they start to believe the stories that they're telling. We can say that's the case with the father
right.
here, or with Queen Latifah in Last Holiday, or to some extent even with Jennifer Lopez in Made in Manhattan, you know?
Yeah. When I was growing up, I had an uncle who was like that, who was a great storyteller, but I always suspected that half of what he said was not true. And then, and then while in film school watching a lot of films, I realized that reality and fiction is always blurred. I mean, I made documentaries for a while, and then I started making fictional documentaries. So I really got interested in what is truth and what is reality. And I remember also, you know, while I was going to film school, I used to hitchhike to school, which is still kosher in those days. And every time I hitchhiked, people would ask me, well, what do you do? I would kind of make up a story about myself. You know, the trick always was when the same guy picked you up and you have to remember what you said to him last time. So. But, I'm always interested in fact and fiction. And in this case, the father, you know, who claims that he's a rocket scientist. And the question is, and he has this long, elaborate story about how, you know, he was misunderstood and whatnot. But how much is truth and how much is fiction and how much the daughter is willing to accept is quite interesting in this film.
It's interesting, too, because a crucial point when he starts to talk to her about her grandfather, and he says that he was a banker, and she said, no, he was a doorman. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fascinating moment for me, and a real sort of, I think, a key dramatic moment in the film, too.
Yeah, that's again, I mean, throughout the last, 50, 60 years of Chinese history, it's so unclear what happened to people. I mean, people could have been a banker and then the next minute they became a doorman, or they were always a doorman and they claimed that they were a banker. Who knows what happened? And with the Cultural Revolution, it was the same thing. I mean, people who were nobody became somebody. People who were somebody were beaten down, thrown into jail, persecuted, and, died or whatever. So there's so much going on, and a lot of it is real, but also a lot of it was fiction, too.
True, because for him, I mean, there's a kind of almost nobility, this sort of thing that if you carry yourself a certain way, you hold on to a certain identity, that's who you are. And if you lose that, then what do you have?
Yeah.
And so when his daughter is no longer married, he treats it as if this horrible tragedy has befallen her. He doesn't know quite what to make of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because, for 20-some years, he was reduced to a clerk instead of a rocket scientist. And he went home every day and he told his family and his daughter, that he was still working as a rocket scientist. Maybe I'm not a filmmaker, Elvis. I'm just pretending, Somebody from NYU one time, a student said, there's no Wayne Wang. Wayne Wang is just a pseudonym that a lot of different directors actually use, which I find quite interesting, only because I kind of move from different genres of films. But if you look at it real carefully, there is a theme that runs through all of them. You know, this thing that you mentioned about fact and fiction and what is reality, and also the fact that Mei Chan is missing. I'm very much involved with making films about the Chinese Americans, which nobody else really does. And then, I'm also fascinated by people who are inside and outside. People who are on the fringe of things, like in Smoke. Everybody, is not connected to anything, but in the end, they're kind of connected, as a family in a way. So there are these themes that run through my films, but then I take on the exterior, a lot of different forms and a lot of different styles.
We'll take a break and continue to ask the philosophical question, is there really a Wayne Wang? my guest, by the way, is director Wayne Wang. His new film is 1,000 Years of Good Prayers. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. More to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. Is there a Wayne Wang? Well, I'm talking to somebody who claims to be director Wayne Wang. He says his new film is 1,000 Years of Good Prayers. He's also made Last Holiday, made Manhattan, Chan is Missing, and Smoke. Wayne, if this really is you, here's a question I've been thinking about since I saw the film, and again, since the Olympics in Beijing just ended, and this whole thing about stature and status and representation, and I mean, and you're talking about wanting to deal with the Cultural Revolution, which, in effect, we're still seeing vestiges of in the Olympics and that kind of repression, weren't we?
Yes. I think, they were so ready to show the world that they've made it, that they have money and they have this incredible history And the opening ceremony was exactly that, you know, and the need to win as many gold medals as they can. Probably some of the young girls in gymnastics were not 16, obviously. So it's pretty interesting to watch.
I found myself thinking about A Thousand Years of Good Prayers as I was watching this, because for me, that key scene which you were talking about in the first half of the show, when he says what his life really was, he's not in the room with his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Face is really important for the Chinese. And in a way, when the father is speaking about what really happened to him, I think, again, you know, going back to what is fiction and what is reality, some of it was also saving his face and keeping his pride to a certain degree. That's why, I mean, even though I think emotionally, I think he was trying to tell the truth as much as possible, I think there's also some question marks. And with China, always is that way. I mean, I cannot really, really believe everything that they tell me, even with the earthquakes. I mean, how many people really died? What really happened? I mean, what was done? What was not done? What happened with that school building? I mean, it's always, well, what is the government, you know, saving face and being proud of you know, what is being done?
Just sort of thinking about if there's a cultural tradition of repressing information and putting out what, again, is the best face, and you're a citizen who's been a part of that, as is the father in the film, then how do you not do that? I mean, how do you not, if that's what you've been, the way you've been educated and the way you've been acculturated, then how do you not do that? And that's the kind of a question that you ask here, too. It's kind of the difference between him and his daughter.
Right. Well, I think you, first of all, you don't believe the government often. You take it for its face value. Second of all, I think there are some real people who try to sort of live a reality and a truth. But the father of the family traditionally often, you know, for face, for pride, for keeping his position as the father, will always tell a white lie or embellish something so that you can keep your power, you can keep, you know, the respect that you want from your kids. I mean, that's part of our culture and our tradition. It probably is true with most families, but with the Chinese, it's probably a little more exaggerated.
I mean, the one thing that you cannot avoid in your films is how key family is to it, and these relationships that kind of teeter on what one person believes, often a parent, versus what a child believes. I mean, and that's a really interesting dynamic that you often create in the films, even if it's films material written by an author whom you get to adapt for you, as you did in the case here. Still, that relationship between parent and child is often central to the films that you make.
I think, like Ozu, who actually made a lot of films about families, but his father died when he was very young. So he was trying to kind of recreate that family sense and the family, you know, interaction. For me, it's trying to understand the contradictions. It's trying to understand, you know, what a father in a Chinese family really means and what he stands for and what is. You know, a way to get at that truth. Often for the truth, I think, lies in the silences. In this film, I have a lot of silent moments, and I think something about those moments when they're not speaking and they cannot speak to each other or have nothing to say to each other, and just what they do or don't do, I think, is very telling. So I was, you know, quite a bit working with the silence of truth.
It's The Treatment. My guest is director Wayne Wang. His new film as director is A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. But the thing about Ozu that separates him, I think, from a lot of filmmakers, even a lot of Japanese filmmakers of his peers, and we should say we're talking about the Japanese filmmaker Ozu, he deals with that sort of that ghostly specter of post-World War II Japan, where there's these people who aren't around but whose presence is always felt. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of here, too. It's the presence of the mother of his wife and her mother is very much a kind of an unmentioned presence, but it's very much there in the film, isn't it?
Yes. Well, the mother who just recently passed away, and also the ghost of the Cultural Revolution. I mean,
yes.
For me, it's so much. I mean, so many people died. So many people are not around. And it's those ghosts that we're dealing with, you know, here. Even though they're now in America in an apartment and just the two of them, but you feel all the other ghosts around them.
That's fascinating for you to find a Japanese correlative to the kind of storytelling you wanted to do that, because until you mentioned Ozu when we did the event a few years ago, I'd always thought that there being a real literary aspect to what you do rather than it being a filmic kind of collaborative point.
Well, the literary is just a way for me to take some material that I'm already responding to, that have something working already. That's more the value of that. But I've always been interested in how to tell a story and you know, in a way that's actually more Asian. And I've always looked at Chinese films for examples, but Chinese films are very much a straight representation of theater, so to speak, because film is not a Chinese art. If you look at Hou Hsiao-hsien, if you look at Edward Yang, if you look at all the, you know, 30s, 40s Chinese films, they're always almost like filmed theater. And, you know, there's very little cutting. It's always done in one shot and a master, which Ozu also tends to do. But Ozu, you know, is more Western, especially the films after the war, and he's integrated some things into his aesthetic. So one part of me is quite fascinated by all of that and trying to integrate that into my work in the form, not in so much the content.
Sure, because that thing you're talking about that runs through so much Chinese film and Yang and Hou Hsiao-hsien is a kind of a ritualistic, over-the-top aspect. Almost operatic in some ways, and in fact, in Yang, soap operatic, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. melodramatic, and yours, that what we're talking about with Ozu is a spare, almost Spartan simplicity,
right,
that you have to react to the drama of the things that aren't said.
Yeah, that's very much probably his influence. So trying to work with what is unsaid and the silences and the ghost and all those things. And also using the house with the just shots of the house with no people in it, because Ozu also believed that that was more powerful, because especially once you've seen the interaction of the family members, the emotions then are distilled in the house itself without the people. So they're I love those shots. So that's what I work with quite a bit, too.
I'm talking to director Wayne Wang. His new film as director is A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. You talked about wanting to do an adaptation of A Gesture Life. And is that still in motion? Is that still going to happen?
No. I spent 4 years trying to get that together. I couldn't get it together. The last person I thought could do it to play that lead role was Mako. And the day that I went to ask him if he would do the part, he just found out he had throat cancer and passed away soon after. I gave it up. A young Korean director called Dennis Lee, I think, is going to do it. So it's a wonderful script. It's a wonderful book. It should be done, and I hope, you know, all the best.
Because I'm fascinated, because there's like that, this almost punk aspect to the films you did maybe in the first 10 years of your career, and then moving back and forth between the studio films and the smaller films you've been doing the last decade.
Uh-huh.
They're more contemplative, I guess I would say. And that,
is that called
kind of wild,
getting old? No.
You tell me, Mr. Allegedly Wayne Wang.
There is still a very punk aspect of it. Actually, there's another film that I made from the same collection of short stories by Yi-Yong Lee called Princess of Nebraska. That one is very, you know, punkish. It's kind of shot on the fly. It's shot from the hip. It's very visual. It's about a young girl who's pregnant and trying to decide what she should do. So there is. I mean, come to think of it, I mean, it's very, you know, fresh and very punkish, so to speak.
And both these films played last year at the Toronto Film Festival. And Prince of Nebraska is one I saw. I didn't get a chance to catch A Thousand Years of Good Prayers there. But what I thought about it, it had the kind of, talking about, like, you know, not really using dialogue to move, I mean, long stretches of silence, mm-hmm. or at least no dialogue. I mean, yeah. all the things we're talking about could be applied to that, but with a whole different kind of attack, really, and a different kind of energy, too.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to just get away from dialogue and try to see characters do things and show things visually. One of the things working with the studio films also was like, you know, you get scripts and scripts are all about dialogue. I mean, you know, to the point that you say, well, are we making radio plays here? Unless it's based on a comic strip or something, then it's more visual. But so I would say 90% of the scripts are literally like radio plays and it's all about dialogue. So that's why it was just trying with both of these two films to sort of show characters doing things and show things visually. And with Princess, the first 20 minutes of the film has absolutely not one line of dialogue.
Now, you were saying something interesting is going to be happening with the release of Princess of Nebraska, a less than conventional way of putting it out. What's that going to be?
Well, Princess of Nebraska is going to go on YouTube, on the internet, at the same time that Thousand Years is going to be in the theaters. It's kind of like a parallel platform. In Paris, what they did was really interesting. They called it a diptych because the two films are related, and they released it in the same theater, sometimes together, sometimes on separate screens. But I like the idea of the diptych because, you know, the two movies are, you know, about two generations of Chinese women, one who's trying to run away from her past, and the other one, the younger one in Princess of Nebraska, is trying to find her own identity because she doesn't really have a past. So I like the idea that the younger one is actually going on the internet, which is more, you know, contemporary anyway, and then the more classic one is actually going into the theater.
Well, Wayne, we're out of time. Thank you so much for doing this. Please, you've got to come back and do the show again, would you?
All right, I would. I always enjoy talking to you. You're the best interviewer, actually. That's why I keep telling everyone I got to go back and be interviewed by Elvis Mitchell.
Well, if only I really existed. My guest is Wayne
Wang.
My guest is Wayne Wang. His new film as director is A Thousand Years of Good Prayers. Our recording engineer is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Paul Ruiz at Argo Networks in New York. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey, the producer. I guess I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.